It is the 12th day of February, 2014, a Wednesday afternoon, and Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County joins us to take up what's been happening in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we had one report out earlier in the week, that from USDA officially, World Agricultural Outlook Board and the WASDE figures next week. I believe you're headed to D.C., and you'll be there for the Ag Forum. Between then and now, another set of numbers are due out, those from the CBO. What do you tell me about those?
Well, you know, for the life of me, I don't quite understand why they're releasing them right now, but at the very same time, there's pressure on them to release them. That's the Congressional Budget Office, basically. And these are numbers that were created last November, just to give them baseline ideas. You know, it's a 10-year outlook is what it is. Now, the numbers that are going to come out of the Ag Forum on the 21st are the numbers that are much more up-to-date. And so there's no doubt, just like last year they were released, we'll see a variation. What it'll do to the market is the big question. Last year we saw a pretty nasty reaction to the numbers that they had, so we'll see once where they're coming from. It'll be interesting to see what the yield per acre is for corn and beans, because that I think is the number one thing that all of us are looking for. And just another wrench into the pot.
You know, there's always something that changes the marketplace just a bit. Speaking of things that change, the weather, which is not really conducive to the folks down in the southeast at this point, will be getting warmer across the southern plains and parts of the hard red winter wheat growing areas here, too, for the soft red winter wheat. What does that mean to you? Anything?
Well, it does. You know, it's always a relief if you start picking up a little bit of warmth. We, of course, have been very concerned and continue to be concerned, especially about hard red wheat out in the west as far as winter kill goes. You know, now, most of the time, if you're going to kill wheat, it's going to be in March because it's going to come because you're going to warm up, then you're going to get snow, and then it's going to freeze, and you'll get ice, and you'll smother it. This time, warmer weather, even though it's a blessing in terms of reducing winter kill, could really be a negative because they are so dry. It could take away all the moisture that they have. I talked to one of our guys the other day, and he's telling me that this has been one of the mildest winters that they've had out there in history in terms of their, you know, the up and the down and the up and the down, and that's extremely tough on wheat. So I think in general, as much as all of us want the warmer weather, it may not be the best thing.
Turn your attention to the soybeans at the moment. China has been a big purchaser of beans. I guess we're going to meet expectations for USDA for the year, right?
Oh, there's no question about that, Todd. In fact, even with the cancellation today, it switched about just under 10 million bushels this morning from old crop beans to new crop beans. That still puts us well above where the USDA is, probably about 50 million bushels. And so we need to see, if we see more cancellations, it's going to take a lot to be able to get us down even to where the USDA is at. So I think that one of the things people are always concerned about when they hear cancellation is they just think that means it's never, you know, it's never coming back. And some of the things that have changed since 2008 is the penalties don't, from what I understand, do not apply as long as they switch it to something else, to a different month. And so I think we'll see a lot of this. We'll see switching from old crop to new crop. And you know, the reality is, I don't like to say it, but we really kind of need to do this, or we need to drive the price a lot higher, because otherwise we may not be able to, we might have to import beans to be able to meet the export expectations.
Hey, speaking of things that are happening in the marketplace, as I look at the corn market, and maybe you can help me with some range here, but it kind of looks like at least the March or the lead option, and the outer months too, are consolidating at this point, maybe with a base at what, 420 to 450? I know that's a pretty good-sized range.
Well, it's a decent range. Again, you know, today we went up to that 445 and three quarters, and you've heard me talk about it before. That's the low that December 13 put in August. It was extremely strong support for us. It's very, very difficult to get through that. We've pushed through it already, but we just have not been able to close above it. So we're at the upper end of the range. I think what you say between 420 and 450 is a real good summary of what's going on. And, you know, there's some very good basis numbers out there. So some of the guys I was talking to today have been pretty aggressive in making some sales. I think that's what it comes down to, Todd, is you have to stay connected to what the basis is doing and look at a cash number rather than looking necessarily at a futures number, because we may never get to the futures number somebody wants.
You know, the cash number has changed everything simply because of the ethanol and usage across the Midwest.
Oh, there's no question about that. And, you know, we had some interesting information from EIA today. when you look at the ethanol exports in November, they were at 1.964 million barrels versus October's 1.267. That's very significant. And the countries, you know, sometimes we don't, I don't know if people realize where we all ship ethanol to, but Canada in this particular case in November was the largest taker of ethanol. Then we had the Philippines and India. We just talked last week about the fact that China came in and bought ethanol for the very first time since 2011. It was the largest amount that they ever bought since 2010. We've been exporting to Brazil. So, you know, the ethanol industry is brisk, and we continue to see pretty darn good margins there.
About the drought out to the west. I know we've gotten some rainfall, but they're still dry, and it'll take a while.
Oh, there's no question about how dry they are. You know, for the first time ever, I talked to someone out in Idaho, and they had never heard of this happening either. We always knew it could, but we had a senior water right holder that shut off a junior water right holder. The junior water right holder had a fish farm, so he is virtually out of business. He has all he has left is basically monuments to what he's been doing until something changes. When you look at the West and you look at California, I'm hearing that just in one part of California, over 300,000 acres isn't going to be planted due to water restrictions. Nebraska is seeing tighter water restrictions again this year. And what does that really mean? One of my clients out there on his pivots normally was at 239. He dropped from 14 to 4 inches last year and dropped down to 156 on those pivots. So, mind you, it isn't every pivot, depending upon how big the guy is, but it is an indication of what it's like. When you're in an area where you depend entirely on the ability to be able to irrigate.
Come back to the corn and the soybeans, but we'll turn our attention a different place, from water, that is, to corn and soybeans, and go to South America, because they're in the midst of harvest now.
Well, they really are, and, you know, it's kind of interesting because central Argentina is just has been flooding like crazy, although I'm sure that they're very happy to have that in contrast to how dry it's been. Now, you look at Brazil. Brazil's still very hot and very, very dry. I still think we're going to probably lose 5 million metric tons or maybe more, but until we know more, that isn't proven. Brazil's in a different kind of situation. You and I had talked about the toll roads. Well, truck freight right now is up anywhere from 10 to 53%, and it's a reflection of the rules. I'd kind of forgotten about these that they put in place last year that doesn't allow a driver to be behind the wheel for more than 8 hours at a time, so they have less trucks available to be able to do it. And then on top of that, just to tell you what the impact is, if you're going from Porto Santos or going to Porto Santos from Mato Grosso, it's $3.60 a bushel right now to haul anything. Porto Santos has now put in new delivery rules, just like Paranaguá put them in, I think, 2 years ago. No truck can come there to deliver unless they've been called, and they will only be called when there's warehouse or vessels that can take the product. You know, they're trying to stop the people from lines and lines of trucks that are going through the city and blocking all the streets everywhere. And so things just don't continue to be easy down there, no matter how you look at it.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us from her office right here in Champaign County on this Wednesday afternoon.